Hi there, and welcome to episode 47 of the Smart English Coach podcast, the podcast which helps you get to advanced English level fast. And in this episode, how you can connect to English speaking culture through movies. With me today is Cara Leopold. Cara helps professionals chat to fast-talking English speakers over coffee by improving their listening and speaking skills with movies. And Cara is here to talk about Movie Club, which has just opened. Welcome, Cara.
Hi, Claire. Thank you for having me again, because I spoke on your podcast almost a year ago, actually.
Yes, I think it was a year.
So very glad to be back.
Well, it's lovely to have you back with us, Cara. Can you tell us something about Movie Club?
Yes, with pleasure. So in fact, this year, this April, we're celebrating 3 years of Movie Club. Believe it or not, it started during the COVID-19 pandemic. And I thought it would just be something fun I would do with some students for a month during the lockdown. And now, 3 years later, we've seen over 25 movies together. So it's been
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a really exciting adventure. So it's open for enrollment at the moment for the May to July round. And if I could describe what it is, it's a very special place, but essentially it's a 3-month community on WhatsApp where you watch, understand and discuss films with other movie lovers to improve your listening, pronunciation and speaking skills in English. So we've just spent the last 3 months watching movies by Clint Eastwood, so either starring Clint Eastwood or directed by Clint Eastwood, which has been quite eye-opening, actually. He's someone who has a very interesting and very long career where he's done a lot of different things. And yeah, his movies have given us a lot to talk about, whether it was The Mule or Invictus or The Bridges of Madison County, which we're watching at the moment. So if you love watching movies and you'd like to find people to talk about with them and use them as a tool to improve your English, then the Movie Club is here for you.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. I mean, I can't say I'm a massive fan of Clint Eastwood, but as you say, he's done a lot, hasn't he? I mean, it's not just the Dirty Harry movies where he's the sheriff. Is he a sheriff?
It's like a policeman. Yeah. So I guess we think of him as like a cowboy or Dirty Harry, but he's actually, you know, directed a lot of movies and he continues to act, you know, in his 80s and 90s, which is really incredible. And yeah, the movie we're watching now, Bridges of Madison County, that was a bit of a departure for him. That movie is maybe 30 something years old, but that's him playing a romantic role, which was quite, you know, different for him. So it's interesting to see how he just, you know, tries all these different things.
He's very versatile, isn't he? So I'd love to get your opinion, Cara, on connecting to culture through movies, because when we talk about culture, we often think about very high level culture, you know, like the Shakespeare plays or Charles Dickens, for example. But that's only a really small part of culture, isn't it? So how can movies help to connect people with more mainstream or more everyday culture?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because, you know, I used to sort of make this mistake where I would watch kind of high culture or highbrow movies in French and Spanish thinking that they would help me. And they do in a certain way. But often once you arrive in a country, I'm sure you've seen this in Italy, the most popular movies tend to be sometimes quite lowbrow, sometimes not very sophisticated, but those are the ones that, you know, people quote lines from and that people watch every Christmas. Or, you know, it's like in the UK, people watch James Bond movies every Christmas, and those movies are pretty silly. They're not really high culture. Well, I mean, the ones nowadays with Daniel Craig or whatever are a bit more serious, but the Bond movies from the 60s are really silly. So an example of popular culture. So I mentioned something there. If you kind of know the pop culture movies and references, then it will make it easier to fit in with native speakers of English, because you know, many lines from movies have become part of English. You know, we quote lines from movies to each other. So I have an audio course based on movie quotes, and one of the quotes, spoiler alert for anyone who does the course, is "Houston, we have a problem," which is from the movie. Is it from, is it Apollo 13 or Apollo 11? The name of the movie.
One of the Apollo ones, yes.
Yeah, one of the Apollo ones. So "Houston, we have a problem" is now something people say in a kind of jokey way to say that, you know, there is some kind of issue, not as serious as, you know, a space travel issue, but still. So there's quotes from movies. There's many quotes that do become part of the culture. There was another one I shared on LinkedIn recently. It was "Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore."
Yeah.
So that's from The Wizard of Oz, and again, people use that in a kind of jokey way to talk about a situation that has changed quite dramatically. So in the movie, Dorothy ends up in Oz, which is this kind of fantasy alternate world. Yeah, so definitely not in Kansas anymore. So yeah, movies, sort of popular culture movies, can you know, give you access to this kind of, you know, secret code between native speakers when they share lines from movies with each other to talk to each other. That's one part of it. And then if you're watching movies that are, I'm not going to say lowbrow because that sounds kind of judgmental, doesn't it? Like these movies are poor quality or whatever. That's not what I'm getting at. But if the movies are from popular culture, what's interesting is that often they can be maybe more embedded in day-to-day life than a kind of more highbrow film.
I was going to say that I think the great thing about movies or films is that it's something that people share. So when you come to a country and you hear references to films which you haven't seen, then you kind of feel a little bit left out. And I think, as you say, when you hear people talking about everyday things and they drop in a quote. I mean, the quote that I always think about is "I'll be back," you know, from Schwarzenegger, you know, the Terminator.
That's even referred to in other TV series and movies. There's an episode of Breaking Bad where they reference the Terminator because, you know, somebody like walks through, people are firing bullets, and I think it's Gustavo who just like walks through them all, like Terminator style. And that's really cool as well when you see references to, you know, films, series, books, etc., like culture referenced within culture. There's so many layers to it, and it's so cool when you can understand that.
I remember years ago that Longman came out with a dictionary of culture to help people with these kind of cultural references, and that included film quotes and so on, because often our conversation bring in quotes from films or books and television, and if you don't know what they are, then you can feel a little bit lost in conversations.
Definitely. Yeah, no, it's helped me in French to kind of have these cultural touch points and references, and it really helped me, you know, fit in better. You know, so obviously I didn't grow up in France, it's where I live now, but I kind of feel like I've caught up a little bit, like I've watched the things that I would have seen on TV if I had lived here, you know, when I was younger. And that's quite nice. You know, it'll never be exactly the same experience as a French person, but certainly I know quite a lot now about pop culture.
So how useful is it then to learn English through movies? And I know that sounds like a stupid question. Of course it's useful to learn English through movies, but I know that some people say that they have watched a film, they've watched a movie, but it didn't help them with their listening skills. So does it really help, or is it just something which is nice to do?
Yeah, that is a really good question. So the way I like to answer this initially is just to say everything works. Everything works in language learning. So every method, every resource, every material, well, rather than saying it works, it has the potential to work. So maybe it doesn't work for you, but it's working for someone else. Maybe it's not working for you today, but who knows, tomorrow it could be the right thing for you. So it all works. It's just about finding what works for you. So if you like films, then you should watch them. If you don't like films and you prefer podcasts or YouTube videos or whatever it is, continue listening anyway, because you can replace the word movies with podcast, with YouTube videos, with whatever it is. and my advice will still help you. So I think the reason people feel frustrated, I guess there's a kind of assumption that Netflix will teach you English and all you have to do is sit on your couch and 2 hours later you'll have learned, you know, all this new language and your listening skills will be better. And
through osmosis, through magic. Through osmosis.
It's like when I worked in a company in France, for some reason, one of the big topics of conversation during breaks and stuff was this machine called a Vorwerk. And it's like a machine. One of my colleagues used to joke that you like put an apple in it and an apple pie comes out of the other side.
Right.
Like it's a really sophisticated machine for like helping you with cooking. And yeah. That's a very seductive. I don't know if it is that efficient, but that's a very seductive idea that you don't need to learn to cook. You just like put a bunch of ingredients in this machine and a beautiful meal comes out of the other side. And it is a very expensive machine. So maybe, you know, it does really work. But yeah, there's that like ease and not having to make an effort that is really...
No effort required, yeah.
Exactly. So I think movies have got that reputation of being something that's fun. Obviously, they are fun. And they just automatically work with no effort required. So again, everything works in language learning, but you do have to apply yourself. You know, every method is going to take some effort. So I think what people get wrong with movies, they're watching them too passively. And again, you can replace this, like I said, with podcasts, with YouTube videos. People are listening or watching passively, so they're not engaging with the material. They're just hoping to pick up stuff by osmosis. And you know, you can do that. The danger with movies is that you waste 2 hours every time you do it if that's all you do. So yeah, you need to be a bit more actively engaged, whether that, you know, is noting down some cool new words and expressions when you hear them, or preparing yourself before you listen by just reading a little bit about the movie so you can follow it more easily, or being careful about what you choose so that it suits your level or it suits your needs.
I was going to say, at least with Netflix, you can go back, can't you? So you can rewind and watch that last 10 seconds again if there's something that you missed.
Exactly. And we have, you know, great subtitling, caption options these days. And then the other thing that people need to work on is actually training their listening so that they can catch fast speech, because that's not something that comes just through osmosis. Because so we were talking before we started recording about a student who we've both worked with, and she's, you know, an advanced speaker of English, and you know, in a couple of months of working with me, she has made a big improvement in her listening skills.
Yeah.
And it's something she'd been working on for years, but because we were doing really focused, you know, training, listening to short sections of English, writing them out, getting feedback on how the words changed and why they're different to the written form, she made progress fast. And obviously you're not going to get that if you just watch a movie, although you can use, you know, clips and lines from movies to do that kind of ear training.
I think that's a really valuable exercise, because especially in English, when the sounds that you hear don't always or aren't always the same as the sounds that you see written down. And I think even with small words, you know, the short words, for example, what you hear doesn't always tie up with what you know is a word. And having those kind of focused exercises where you can really link together what you hear with what you see are really, really useful, aren't they?
Oh yeah, definitely. They can make a really big difference. And even in a short amount of time, you know, people can be quickly become aware of, you know, which sounds are regularly deleted or modified or blend together. Even though the rules aren't always followed when people talk fast, that can still give you an idea of what to expect and how people really say things. And yeah, short words. I was reading some feedback from a student the other day, and she was saying, you know, now that I know that native speakers don't say "and" carefully, they say, you know, You know, I'll know that I can pronounce it that way, and that's okay. And also, that's what I'm going to hear, so I shouldn't be surprised when I don't hear "and" everywhere when I listen to English.
So if we can go back a little bit to the idea of watching films for pleasure, watching films for entertainment, and watching films for connecting to culture. Cara, I'd love to hear about your experience of watching French films. Do you have any examples for us of how watching French films helped you to connect with France and with French culture?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because like I said, I kind of made the mistake before when I was watching French movies before I moved to France. I've been in France for 16 years, so you have to go back a little bit to appreciate, you know, when I was doing this. So I was working with quite a limited selection of films that I could get from the local library, and often they were those kind of highbrow, very famous French movies like A Bout de Souffle, which is a film by Jean-Luc Godard, which is a very famous French film. And yeah. I mean, I suppose it does take place in a sort of quite a concrete context, but you know, it's a film from the 50s or the 60s. Mm. I'm not sure how relevant it really was for me as a learner. I think I needed something a bit more basic, a bit more tangible. And then after, when I arrived in France, I realized, you know, okay, it's important to know who Godard is and about the Nouvelle Vague and stuff like that. But actually, the films that people really, you know, love and quote lines from and watch again and again are the more lowbrow, the more popular ones. So there's a series of movies called Les Bronzés, which is about this group of friends who meet. In the first film, they meet because they're on holiday at a Club Med together. Mm. It's a film from the 70s, so I guess that's kind of a 70s thing, Club Med. So they meet, and then in the next movie, they decide that they're all going to meet up again, and they go on a skiing holiday together. So that film is called Les Bronzés font du ski, and it's the sequel, and I would say the sequel is by far the preferred movie that people, you know, really love to quote lines from. And I remember one day my partner and my friend's boyfriend started like quoting lines from it, and they were laughing so hard, and we had no idea what they were talking about. Mm. And then after, we discovered the movie. Yeah, it's very funny because it's this kind of cliche of French people, but often these cliches do have some basis in the truth. So,
oh, yes.
You know, the friends sort of all end up falling out with each other at one point because they go on this skiing trip, you know, very high up in the mountains, and they get lost. And of course, the guy who's leading them, he's like, oh, I know where I'm going. And then he doesn't, and they get lost. And one of the women gets hurt, and she starts complaining, and she refuses to go on. So just this kind of like group of French people all kind of arguing with each other is, a cliche that is a little bit true in real life. So, that was a really important movie, I think, to for me to watch, and for anyone to watch if they're coming to live in France.
Yeah, it's being able to understand the culture, isn't it? Because I remember watching an Italian film called Qualunque Mende, and it's a satire. It's a story of this corrupt politician. Now, I don't want to name names, but I'm sure we can all guess who it's based on. And he's from the south of Italy, and he's trying to get himself elected as a mayor. And some of the concepts, for example, the idea of having to pay tax. At one point in the film, he asks for the receipt in a restaurant, and the entire restaurant goes quiet, and they look at him in absolute horror. You know, you want the receipt? Because the whole idea of, you know, having to get a receipt and to be sort of traced by the financial authorities is, for most Italians, it's completely terrifying. And there's a very famous line in the film where he says, paying taxes is like taking drugs. You know, you try it once, but after that you get sucked into this world. You know, you can't stop yourself. And of course, Italians are famous for trying to avoid paying their taxes. And it's a very sort of very funny look at why this is, why people don't want to pay tax. And as an English person living in Italy, I mean, I didn't really have problems paying taxes until I realized that, of course, yes, as soon as the tax authorities know who you are, you can never escape. You know, you're paying taxes for the rest of your life. Obviously, the film is a comedy and you know, you shouldn't take it too seriously. But I found it was quite sort of like illuminating. And I think, you know, watching these kind of popular films, it's a really good way of understanding a little bit about the culture and about the place that you're living in. Because, of course, if you live long term in a country, you've got to speak the language. You've got to understand who your neighbours are. It's an very enriching part of your experience there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You need to, why do people behave the way they do? Why do they say the things that they do? Because sometimes, you know, you can understand something on a surface level in terms of, you know, words and grammar and syntax, but you don't understand it on a deeper level because you don't have that cultural knowledge. So, you know, knowing that avoiding tax is a thing that people do in Italy much more, I would say, than in the UK, that is an important part of understanding the culture.
So we've talked about this before, Cara, and this is something that people always ask me, and that's about subtitles. Should you watch a film with subtitles on or with them off? What's your opinion?
Okay, so just for a quick anecdote. So one of my students, so I mentioned that Movie Club started 3 years ago in the pandemic, and one of my students has watched every single movie since we started. And she told me that she still watches them with subtitles, at least in the first week of the club, where we're kind of just watching the movie for enjoyment, just to follow the story and start forming some opinions about it. So I thought that was interesting to hear. So she doesn't put pressure on herself in that first week. And also she knows that in the second and third week of the club, that's where I send the club members clips from the movie to work on. So when we do that, they're not using the subtitles, but then we will use the subtitles after so they can check their work. So it really depends what you're doing and what you're trying to achieve. And I think the main thing to bear in mind is that it's never all or nothing. You know, you can choose to turn them on and off as you need. You can, you know, consciously choose to keep them off because you are doing a listening exercise, listening and writing, and then you'll use the subtitles to check your work afterwards. Yeah. It really depends what you're doing. But I think the danger is if you do become too reliant on them and you're not doing ear training and you're not learning how English really sounds, you can end up being too reliant on reading them. So it's just something to bear in mind if people are stuck reading them, then that could be a sign that you need to do some ear training and not just passively watch with the subtitles.
I really like that answer, Cara, because it really is, yes, you know, use them, but understand why you're using them. And my next question then, so what sort of movies should people watch to learn about culture?
I was actually talking about this yesterday. Have you ever heard people tell you that watching Harry Potter movies or reading the books is a good way to learn about British culture?
No, but I have to confess that I have never watched a Harry Potter movie and I haven't read any of the books. I think I'm the only person.
You're the only person in the UK. Maybe you weren't. I was kind of the right age when the books came out for reading them. I've seen people say this and it's just so weird to me because, you know, obviously Harry Potter is a fantasy. You know, even if you haven't read it, you know, it's about witches and wizards. So it's, you know, it's not real, even though there's some elements that are based on real life. Like, you know, they do mention King's Cross Station in the book, but they leave from platform 9 3/4, which doesn't actually exist. They go to a school called Hogwarts. Hogwarts is like a boarding school. So I don't know about you, but I think in my entire life, I've maybe met one person who went to boarding school in the UK.
Likewise. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's really rare. And Quidditch isn't a sport. Maybe it's based on cricket or something. But a simple point is to maybe avoid fantasy because, you know, it's not based on real life. And go for things that are kind of grounded in concrete everyday situations where you're going to see people chatting with plenty of dialogue and, you know, going to different everyday places, you know, going to the shops or going to work or whatever it is, because, you know,
or talking to their family members.
Yeah, exactly. That's an opportunity to notice how they interact. Because it's quite interesting. I think you could tell the difference with the sound off between, you know, an Italian movie or a British one just by looking at, you know, people's body language and, you know, how much do they talk with their hands or not. I actually talk a lot with my hands.
Mm, yeah,
I could fit in Italy, I think.
Well, yeah, talking with your hands is definitely important. Gestures are important.
And these are the kind of things you can observe when you're watching movies that do have that kind of everyday dialogue, especially if you watch movies by actors, directors who do like to recreate something that's, yeah, that resembles real life, even though, yes, ultimately it's a film. It's not going to be 100% true to reality. It's not a documentary.
No, it's entertainment, isn't it? But
yeah,
that of course makes it interesting to watch.
Hmm.
And if I can ask you a final question, I don't know if you can answer this because I don't know if it's supposed to be a secret and I don't want to spoil anybody's pleasure, but can you tell us what movies you are featuring in Movie Club?
Oh, well, actually we need to decide, because the special thing about Movie Club is that if you join, if you're a member, you get to choose our theme. So we work with a theme for 3 months, and
fabulous,
that's how we pick our movies. So our theme for the last 3 months was Clint Eastwood. So we watched movies either starring Clint Eastwood or directed by Clint Eastwood. In the past, we've had themes like, we did one once, it was movies set in Detroit.
Oh.
So all the movies were in Detroit or near Detroit. And this is really cool because it lets us compare and contrast the different films. So for Detroit, you had like different depictions of the city. And then for Clint Eastwood, you get to see him at different stages of his career and as an actor and director. And for the May to July round, I don't know what we're going to watch. It'll depend on the club members. So if you would like to choose, then you'll need to join.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. This could be your chance to basically direct the Movie Club.
Exactly.
You could actually
yeah.
choose. Fantastic. Thank you very much, indeed, Cara. Thank you also for all your advice on the sorts of films that are going to help you to connect with culture, the sorts of things that you can do to help you improve your listening. It's, as usual, Cara, it's been such an interesting discussion. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claire. It's lovely to talk to you again and come back on the podcast.
I'll put the link to Movie Club in the show notes. If you enjoyed this, please make sure to subscribe so that you never miss another episode. You can subscribe at smartenglishcoach.com. Thanks for listening and see you soon.